Can a homosexual or a rapist be eternally saved? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We are currently in our National Bible Conference week, and we are in the third day of it. Now, maybe you weren't able to make it down to Coppell, Texas to join us in person, but that doesn't mean you have to miss a single moment. You can find out more about how to join the live stream of our National Bible Conference by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. Certainly hope to connect with you online. Well, let's jump right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hi, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Bob Wilkin.
And I'm Sean Lazar.
And where are we going today, Sean?
Well, we're going to answer some questions today. We're working on some books, and we're going to start some book series soon. But we need to answer some questions for a little while longer. We'll get to those books very, very soon. I'm really excited about all the things that we have in the pipeline, really.
Me too.
Some interesting things. But here's a question, and it's from Laura, and it's a hard question. We love hard questions, don't we?
Yes.
Or there's a lot of layers to it, and sometimes with these questions, you have to figure out what's the central issue here. And so here's what Laura says. She says, I had a conversation with a guy that told me he once was a Christian, but had fallen away and became an atheist. One of his arguments was that he believes God intentionally creates people that are doomed for hell. For example, he believes God purposefully created LGBTQ people to put them at a disadvantage. I told him that as a sinner, we are all at a disadvantage, but he wasn't convinced. I was hoping you could help give me biblical knowledge and understanding for future encounters like this.
Did you notice the contradiction in what she's saying? This man claims he used to be a Christian,
yeah,
but now he's what?
An atheist.
And what does an atheist believe?
He doesn't believe in God.
Now, the very next thing she said is, God created homosexuals as homosexuals with an impossibility of being saved.
Well,
wait a minute. If there is no God,
yeah,
then he doesn't believe that God created anybody.
Right. The point would be like us saying, you know, well, if Allah was the true God, well, then he's the source of good and evil. So that's why I don't believe in him.
Okay.
You know, I think it's more like a hypothetical scenario. If this God existed, well, he created these people to go to hell.
Okay, I see what you're saying, and yes, I suppose he could be saying that hypothetically, but I'd just like to point out that if an atheist is getting into arguments about why God is unfair, it seems a little bit nutty to me.
Well, I don't know. I think it makes sense. It makes sense to say, this is why I don't believe in God, because the system doesn't make sense. But what he's about to say, though, really reflects, I don't know what kind of Christianity he grew up with, but part of the Christianity he grew up with is that God intentionally creates people who are doomed for hell.
Which means, of course, is he not saying then that all homosexuals are doomed for hell?
Well, apparently that's the belief that he grew up with, because then Laura says, for example, he believes God purposefully creates LGBTQ people to put them at a disadvantage. So that's another belief that this guy grew up with, that God created people who are LGBTQ.
Well, now, I don't know what she means by put them at a disadvantage, but what he says is that they've been disqualified from
right.
everlasting life.
Right.
Well, let's deal with that first and primarily.
Okay.
We have a number of articles at our website. I wrote one many years ago about homosexuals and salvation. And what I say in the article is what we find in the Bible. That John 3:16 does not say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whichever heterosexual believes in him should not perish but has everlasting life. No, it says whoever.
Right.
And whoever includes homosexuals, heterosexuals, transsexuals, it includes murderers and rapists, it includes everybody of every stripe.
Right.
Anyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ has everlasting life. Now, there are a lot of people in Christianity, and a lot of preachers you're going to listen to say this, well, yes, but you must turn from your sins in order to be born again.
Right.
So they will say, if you're living with your boyfriend
mm-hmm.
and you're not married, then you've got to give that up in order to be saved.
Right. You got to move out.
Or if you're a practicing homosexual,
mm-hmm.
And in order to be saved, you've got to give that up. You've got to stop doing that,
or
right?
Or even a non-practicing, you have to repent of all those. You can't have those thoughts anymore, right? Because even to lust after someone is the same as doing the deed.
Yeah, that's where it would get dicey, because it seems to me Luther's comment here comes into play. Mm-hmm. We can't stop the birds from flying overhead, but we can keep them from nesting in our hair.
Right.
It's one thing to have an attraction.
Right.
For example, heterosexual. If I have an attraction to a woman, is that sin?
Well, you can entertain that thought, and then that can become a lust in your mind.
Right.
And that would be
if
sin.
If you dwell on it and you let it come to fruition, it becomes sin.
Yeah.
But just the very attraction is not sin. See, that's one of the problems with the homosexual lobby today. It's the idea that if you're attracted to someone of the opposite sex, of the same sex, I mean, then you must follow through on it. Except that even they say, well, wait a minute, if you're quote-unquote married, so you've got a man married to another man, he's not supposed to follow through if he's attracted to a third man.
Right.
Right? They're supposed
I don't
to be
know.
Faithful.
That's my question. I don't know if you're supposed to be faithful. I wonder if they're just, once you open the floodgates to that, I wonder if all those sins kind of get accepted. Like, are they monogamous? Is that a virtue for them? Or I don't know that it is.
I don't know. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Everybody has temptation to sin.
Right.
But when it comes to how we're born again, it's not by giving up our temptation to sin. It's not by stopping sinning.
Right.
It's simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting life. So if this man who has the objection, I would say to him, the issue is we're dead spiritually, mm-hmm. and we need life spiritually.
Right.
We do not have everlasting life, and we need it. Jesus died on the cross and removed the sin barrier. He took away the sin of the world.
Right.
So therefore, the sin of every homosexual has already been taken away as far as a barrier. It's no longer a barrier to being born again.
Mm-hmm.
All the homosexual has to do to be born again is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be saved.
Right.
She will be saved.
Right.
The same is true for people of any sin.
Yeah.
We don't tell the people, you need to deal with your own sin. Jesus dealt with it at the cross. And so the flaw in this person's argument is, first of all, the idea that homosexuals are doomed.
Yeah, I would say, first of all, the idea that God predestines people to hell, that's wrong.
Right.
That's unbiblical. God doesn't do that for anybody.
And there's no class of people that are excluded. Now, there are three vice lists that mentions homosexuals in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, Galatians 5, 19 to 21, Ephesians 5, 5 to 7. We have articles on our website. In fact, I wrote a 20-page article called Christians Who Lose Their Legacy on Galatians 5, 19 to 21. You can see it at faithalone.org.
Right.
The point is, those aren't dealing with who gets into the kingdom.
Right.
Those are dealing with who inherits the kingdom, those who will rule in the life to come.
Right. So you are not saying homosexuality is not, you're not denying that homosexuality is a sin. It is a sin.
It is a sin.
And you aren't denying that people need to repent of that. They do need to repent of that.
Well, right. But not in order to be born again.
Not to be born. It's a discipleship issue.
It's a discipleship issue. Or for an unbelieving person, it is a life issue, because homosexuality brings on God's judgment. And so as the person turns from that, well, they become healthier. But the point is, whether they turn from it or not, that's still not the condition of everlasting life.
Right. In a lot of ways, what the LGBTQ movement has done is it's kind of revealed that it's almost like a litmus test for churches as to whether or not they really believe that justification is by faith apart from works.
That's a great point. And it's also a litmus test. I just saw a good article in a theological journal, and the author suggested that this LGBTQA, and I don't know, there's 26 letters now, aren't there, or something, whatever it is, the alphabet group, that it is a direct assault to God's mandate to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, because it denies the fact that God made them male and female. It's denying the need to procreate. It's denying basically God's mandate for the world. And so essentially what's going on, this isn't really about sex. This is really about throwing off God as the sovereign.
Right. God's design for people.
God's design for the family. God's design for society. God's design for mankind, his people, or his creation. So I guess my point would be he's wrong on that front. Secondly, he's also wrong that God creates people as homosexuals.
Right.
The idea that I was born this way is not biblically true. God does not create people that way.
He doesn't create people as sinners. We're all born with mortal bodies, and we're born in a fallen world.
Right.
And we choose to sin. And all of that kind of contributes to us having these predilections and corrupt character.
Right. Know? Oh, exactly. But my point is this. I don't buy the homosexual lobby's idea that someone is born and they can't help the fact that since they feel attraction to people of the same sex, well, that's who they are. No, that's not who they are. They feel attraction to people of the same sex. So you don't have to follow through on that. There's all kinds of people who have attraction to the same sex who are celibate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole movement of people who are not practicing homosexuality but experience those desires. And there are lots of people who have married and have had attraction to people of the same sex. Mm-hmm. And they have families and et cetera. I also don't believe that you can't change. You know, a person who has adopted this lifestyle can't change. I've met people who have.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that are issues related to well-being, pleasing God, not who's born again and who's not.
You know, maybe one thing I'd also like to say is to someone who's struggling with those issues is they probably have been taught by many churches and many pastors that God hates them. And I would want to reaffirm that, no, God loves you.
For God so loved the world.
Yes.
They're part of that.
You are important to God.
Jesus died for you.
Yes.
If you're a homosexual, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants you to spend eternity with him. So it's a lie to say that God has predestined some people to eternal condemnation, that God created people so that they could not have everlasting life. That's not true. Anyone who simply believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is saved once and for all.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not it's possible to lose our faith. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.